You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 70. Hey bitches, what is up you guys? It's your girl Carly. Welcome back to Hey Bitches Podcast. Hope you guys are having an incredible Tuesday. I am sitting down today with one of my lifelong best friends, Annika, and we are chatting mental health. Now, this is something that I really wanted to come on here and talk about, especially with Annika, because, you know, we've been friends for so long. I've been with her basically on her whole mental health journey. And this is a really, really good and really insightful conversation for not only me, but I really hope you guys. We talked about things like mild depression, full depression, OCD, how to find a therapist, and so much more. So I'm throwing this out here as a little bit of a baby trigger warning. If you guys don't really enjoy listening to that kind of content, that is kind of what we're talking about today. But if you guys are interested, I really encourage you to listen to this episode. If you are very similar to me in the terms of you don't really know how to find a therapist, you don't really know how to take care of your mental health or how to even ask for help, this is a really, really good episode and I'm really excited to share it with you guys. So let's get into it. You guys, we are sitting down today. I am so excited. I literally say that every single fucking episode, but I'm excited to sit down and do this episode today. We are joined by my literal lifelong, longest friend, best friend I've ever had in my life, Annika. Say hi.
Bonjour. It's Bonjour. Annika.
Me and Annika have been friends for 18, coming up on 19 years.
Is that right? Since kindergarten?
That is right, because we did this math when we had our first day of school vlog.
I remember. Wait, first school of what?
First day of school vlog last
year. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In September. Yeah, so we're coming up.
That was a year ago.
Yeah, we're coming up on 19 years.
Shit, that's a long time.
I know, right? Literally, it's crazy considering that, like, we're both, well, Annika turns 24 this year, but, like, we're both 24.
Yeah.
And for 19 years of our 24 years, we've been friends.
Well, yeah, it's like, what do you even remember before you're five?
Fuck up.
I mean,
nothing.
Other than like hanging out with your family and shit, like, I mean, really, what do you remember from before you're five other than monumental things like if you fell down the fucking stairs or something?
Yeah. But I mean, here we are. We've been friends for fucking ever.
Ever.
And the thing is, too, is we've gone to every single stage of school together as well. Kindergarten, junior high, high school, and university.
Like I said, kindergarten instead of elementary school. Anyway, elementary, junior high, high school, university, we've all gone to the same schools. We've been in literally like the same classes. I mean, we've always had a class together.
At least one.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a long time.
It's a long ass time.
Especially when you really think about it, it's like especially crazy when you actually put the thought to it that it's been that long.
Right?
Yeah. That's nuts. Crazy shit.
Okay, so we have Annika on today to talk about mental health. Now, I previously talked about, you know, how sex shaming kind of ruined my outlook on therapy. I did a whole podcast about it. I have always been kind of like adverse to therapy. Averse? Is it? I don't know. I always
Something
have been
like that.
Averse to therapy because I had like a poor experience.
Right.
However, Annika has been going to therapy and she loves her therapist.
She rocked.
And, you know, like when I started to talk to her again about therapy, she was like, no, I love my therapist, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, you know, I just had like a couple bad experiences. I'm sure therapy isn't all bad, but I'm having Annika on the podcast today to kind of walk us through her journey of like finding a good fit for a therapist, mm-hmm. how she knew that she maybe needed to get a therapist. I'm also of the opinion that like you don't need to have something wrong to get a therapist.
No, like, definitely not. Yeah. Nothing has to be wrong. It's just like, it's a good place to go for like a outsider's view who has no opinion, and what you do technically doesn't affect them. So they really have no biased opinion on what you say. They care, but they don't really give a shit. Like,
yeah.
Like they're not going to be like, well, you're being an idiot. Like, you know, like, you know, like they don't care in the sense that it's like, it doesn't affect them in any way. So they give you a completely unbiased opinion.
Exactly.
So that's obviously good.
So yeah, I'm excited to have Annika on here today because like I said, she has told me how much she loves her therapist. Annika's doing very well. I remember,
thank you.
You know, there was a period where Annika was, you know, not doing great, but she also was doing this thing where she wouldn't tell us that. And then I just would assume that she was fine, or she'd be like, oh, haha, like make like a joke out of it. And I'd be like, I can't tell if you're serious or not. And then at one point she fucking lost her shit at us. I remember this so vividly because Annika had the fucking audacity to tell me I was a bad friend.
Listen. I didn't say you were a bad friend, but the problem was, and this is like, this is how things get misconstrued also. And this is like partially like people being stubborn, myself included, but it's like certain people like myself, like I don't like having to be like, listen, guys, I'm not doing good. Can you help me? You know? And it's like, if I'm going to go out of my way and say something and I don't get the reaction out of whoever, be it Carly, whoever, if I don't get like the reaction I want, not like a reaction, like a, or like, you know, sympathy, whatever. It's just like I had one friend once upon a time who I said something to in this situation, the same time period that Carly's talking about. And I said something and it like takes a lot for me to like actually go out of my way and say something because I'm like a very outgoing, happy-lucky person. So it's like everything else is like kind of internalized. And I had said something to this friend and I got a, well, I hope you feel better. So that kind of like completely shuts you down and it's like, oh, fuck, I'm not talking to you about it again.
Uh-huh. And so I understand that because, I mean, looking back, obviously, hindsight's fucking 20/20.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I love direct communication. And the thing about Annika is because we've known each other for so long, she's always had snide jokes, like, here and there. And I think because it's kind of a double-edged sword for me because on one hand, I've known you so long, so I probably should have picked up on it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's been fucking 18 years of you like making these like little jokes here and there. And I literally could not differentiate if it was like a serious thing or a not serious thing. And so basically what happened is you had that experience with that friend. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, fuck that. I'm not fucking reaching out to
like,
anyone.
Yeah. It's like what happens. It's like as soon as you tell somebody something and that you like don't get what you wanted from it, you literally just get like a, well, I hope you feel better. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? That's helpful. Literally. Thanks. Like, not like I need you to be my goddamn therapist, but it's like, that's like me being like, oh, like, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm terminal. And they're like, well, you know what? I hope your last few months are great. Yeah. You're like, thanks. That's so useful to me. Thank you so much. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But like, not that it was anyone's fault of their own. It's like a collective thing. Like, it's like, I didn't say something. Maybe I didn't say something clear enough. Maybe people didn't pick up on it. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's like a collective thing. Like it's nobody's fault. And I'm obviously still functional in life. So shout out me.
Shout out Annika. But I remember this period specifically because I think that was before you had really started to go to therapy.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely before I started to go to therapy. So I started going.
Would you say though that was like probably one of the lowest points that you realized before you had to go to therapy? Or I guess before you answer that question, kind of walk us through your own personal situation.
Like the timeline?
The timeline between, you know, being the way that you were and then deciding that you needed help to go to therapy.
Okay, so let me think back. What would last, not this last January, but the January before?
January, like 2019.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so basically in December, so school was fine, life was fine. Like I literally, the thing about like being hit with like a bout of depression is that you're sad for a reason, but when you're depressed, it's like you're not depressed over something typically, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like obviously like a chemical thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're sad when somebody dies. Obviously you can go into depression after that, but like initially you're sad over it. So me having a good life that I do, good friends, good family, whatever, I had nothing to be sad about.
Mm-hmm.
And like, of course, like through like junior high and high school, like I had little maybe like bouts of like something called dysthymia, which is like a moderate depression. Mm-hmm. Where it's like sometimes you're just like, wow, like what the fuck's the point? Like, you know, but that's like very short periods, not as intensive periods, right? So then come December, I was like vibing, you know, chilling, doing good, like nothing, nothing wild. And then I can't remember exactly, but January, so school started again and I had five classes and I'd always had five classes. Like it wasn't a big deal. And then literally like the first week of school, like I hadn't even gone to that class once. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna need to drop one of those because I don't think I'm capable. And then by the end of that, I was like down to three. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, holy shit, I can't. Like, I literally went to school three times. Sorry, not even three times. I went to three singular classes the entire month of January.
Was that semester, winter semester, when we had our responsible marketing
class?
No,
that was September.
That was September. Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
September 2019?
No, September, yeah. Because remember, it was nice outside and then it was just getting cold?
Yes,
I remember because I got my AirPods.
I do remember that semester. I remember that. Okay,
can't argue dates with me, honey.
No, Annika, like, literally has I don't even know. She is the best for remembering shit. Like,
random
she'd be
like, shit.
Hey, Carly, do you remember in grade three when you did this? And I'm like, literally, I know.
Okay, I'm don't. Like, listen, it was relevant, okay?
But anyways, so January was a struggle month for you.
Yeah, January was really bad. And then, so my parents also usually go away for a month in September and a month in January. Mm-hmm. And so obviously not having anybody at home, you literally have nobody to report to. So it's like, well, if I don't go to school, who's gonna know? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it matter, right? And it was just like a big thing of staying in bed. I literally lost like 25 pounds, like just not hungry. Like, it's not like a starving yourself thing. It was like, I'm not really hungry. I don't really want to do anything. And like, I'm a big TV person. Like, I love watching TV series.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And like at this time and knowing now, it's actually like not being able to get into something. Like, I literally had, like, it felt like work to watch TV.
Oh.
Like, it felt like I was like doing something. Like, it took me effort to watch TV because mm-hmm. I was like, holy fuck, I actually have to focus on something. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I literally couldn't like get into anything new. So I literally just had to rewatch shit or like TV shows that have not a lot of substance to them, aka mm-hmm. when I started watching Love Island, which is a great show. But something easy to watch, you know, it's just like reality stuff. It's a lot easier than something fictional to like keep up with.
With the storyline and everything, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like reality TV shows are like, you know, it's like every episode something new or like easy to keep up with. Like somebody gets a new house, like cool.
Yeah.
You know, like whereas like fictional TV shows, it's a lot of storyline mm-hmm. to keep track of. I don't know if any of you have seen Euphoria. I know you have, right?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Well, no. There's this one part in the show where the main character, Rue, is like, oh, like, you know, you're depressed when you're like watching like a TV show and it starts to feel like work. And I was like, yo. That's true. That's true. Like when it actually takes you effort, like watching TV is something so mindless. Mm-hmm. And it's like when that feels like work, it's like, rip. Mm-hmm. That's not good. So anyway, so that happened. January was shitty, whatever. And then February was more of that. March was more of that. Wasn't going to school really. Only occasionally when there was like a midterm or something, mm-hmm. right?
March was also when we had that like little fight.
I thought that was later.
No, because it was Lauren's birthday.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
No, wasn't it Cassie?
February, March. Oh, it was Cassie.
Yeah, so it was later, wasn't it?
March.
Oh.
April.
What?
April.
Her birthday's in... Oh, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, so then we kind of had like a little blowout and whatever. It wasn't really a big deal. Like it was literally resolved like the next day. It didn't...
Wasn't I think...
a big thing.
I think it was only... It was such a big thing for me looking back. Not because we had a fight. It's just like my life at that point had crashed because I lost my job literally the day before. And then the next day we had that fight. And I remember driving to Cassie's birthday, like crying my eyes out because I was so stressed. Like, it's not that like this fucking fight was
like tack on top of each other. And then it's a big situation.
And I was like trying to preserve my makeup, like you're not look like trash showing up to this fucking birthday party.
Yeah.
But so that was April.
Yeah, that was April. So I can't remember exactly the month, but eventually I was like, you know what? I have to go to the fucking doctor. I'm going to off myself. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor, which took like a lot of effort, explained my situation, whatever, to her. And she was like totally understanding and stuff. And then she gave me a prescription to try some stuff. But you guys don't know, but Carly knows, like my mom was a pharmacist. So like I know everybody at our pharmacy really well. And that's where I go give all my prescriptions and stuff. And so I brought my prescription. And this is another one of those things where somebody gives you a bad reaction.
Uh-huh.
So I hand over my prescription to a lady at the pharmacy that I know. And she was like, well, you don't need that.
Oh,
and I was like, oh yeah, I don't need that. Like, like thanks. Like, yeah, I do. Like, the doctor didn't give it to me for the hell of it. It's not gonna make you high. Like, I obviously need it. So then that was shitty. Anyway, so then I started taking those. And then, I mean, some people get lucky on the first time. Whereas, like, me, I had to take, like, 7 different combinations before I found something that worked.
Yeah.
And then I ended up being allergic to one of them. And then I had, like, bumps all over me. I was so itchy. And then I had to go to the hospital because I was, like, they thought, like, my throat might close or something. So anyway, I'm sitting at the hospital. One of the ladies is, like, go sit in the waiting room. And so I go sit there for, like, 2 minutes. And then another lady comes up and she's like, actually, can you come with me? And I was like, yeah, why? And she's like, I need you to sit beside me because, like, if you, like, start to choke, like, if you can't breathe, that's going to be a problem. I was like, Yeah, probably. So I'm literally just sitting beside this lady while she's like taking someone else's blood pressure and like checking them in or whatever. Anyway, so I got some stuff and then I couldn't be alone for 24 hours because they were like, well, just we don't in want case you to die. Yeah. So I went and stayed at Mark's, aka Mark, my boyfriend. Shout out.
Shout out Mark. We love Mark. Where was Mark in all of this? Like, did you tell him or?
Like, not like in detail. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like I was airing it to everybody. It was more of like a me thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was just wondering.
Yeah. Like, no, he wasn't like an issue or anything. It was like he was there if I needed him, but it wasn't like I was like openly being like, can you help me, you know? Yeah,
so it was like one of those situations again where like he could have been more helpful, but like you literally just didn't tell us.
Sure. Anyway, so then I unfortunately right after that I literally got a sinus infection, like, mm-hmm. because I was taking all these like drugs and stuff for my allergic reaction. Anyway, and I kind of had a cold, and then that cold turned into a sinus infection. That was shitty. And then I had to literally like move like 4 of my final exams. I don't know if anyone's actually had like a really bad sinus infection before, but my whole face like throbbed. Mm-hmm. Like not just a sinus infection where you have like green snot and stuff, but like I literally had to put like an ice pack on my face, and I was like crying over how bad my freaking face hurt. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I told my doctor that I wanted a referral to a psychiatrist. And so I don't know, they got me in pretty fast. So
is there a difference between like a therapist and a psychiatrist? Do you go there first? Or?
So, well, depends. Like, so a psychiatrist is a doctor, like a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. someone can go specialize in general practitionery, like, you know, like being a family doctor, like somebody can specialize in like ophthalmology or mm-hmm. like surgery. And so like psychiatry is like a doctor of the mind. Mm-hmm. So whereas like a psychologist slash therapist is like they went to school
for behavioral.
Like psychology, kind of like treating things without medical mm-hmm. things, you know? So she sent me to a psychiatrist, and the lady that I saw was like, I don't remember exactly what it was called. It was like downtown. It was like the Edmonton something health building, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so she was like actually a resident in the psychiatry because that's like how they work it, so like people have more access. Mm-hmm. So like she was like a fifth year resident in the psychiatry program, probably like 30 years old, literally the nicest lady, so nice. I was just talking to her, and then her boss, like somebody who's a graduated psychiatrist, he was like 45 or whatever, just like came in and like checked over her plan for me, basically.
When you talk to your psychiatrist, is it kind of like therapy? You just sit and you talk, and then they like, you know, take what you say and apply it?
No, because they're there for diagnosis. Okay. Like diagnosing you. So then I was diagnosed with depression and diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, because I also struggled with that for a long time.
How did they diagnose you? Like, did you take tests? So, did you do blood?
Well, basically you explain your situation, because mm-hmm. like your blood, they can't tell anything from your blood, but you talk to them, you like basically give them a rundown of like how you're feeling and like key symptoms of certain things. Like, for example, like OCD, you do like they have like this test that came from Yale or Harvard or some shit. That's like a, like basically like an indication test. So like it's like a always, frequently, sometimes, mm-hmm. rarely, never type thing. Mm-hmm. And so like you do one of those, and also like what you explain, like they can just tell, like,
yeah,
when you're touching doorknobs and shit, like mm-hmm. they're like, okay, well, that's not fucking normal. And like the thing is about that too, it's like, you know, it's not normal, but it's like in my head, it's like, if I don't go and do it, like someone's gonna die, mm-hmm. which is like obviously stressful and whatever, right? I had the two diagnoses, and then so though they can just like adjust what your family doctor prescribed you, because they're obviously like the literal doctors of the mind, right?
Yeah.
So they can kind of like change it from like what your doctor did. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say you were just like,
because your doctor's only like a GP. Like, it's not like they specialize in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like not like super knowledgeable in like specific things. Like if you have a problem with your heart, they refer you to a heart doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was there, they kind of like changed the medication and whatnot, and I went and picked up my new stuff, and this was before the whole allergic reaction thing. So like those ones didn't work. I changed again, and then I found good ones. I think my doctor gave me like a brochure, and then she just told me about this counseling / psychology center, and I went there, and you just basically like say what you, there's obviously certain people who like have more experience in certain things, like mm-hmm. for example, like people who do like divorce shit, mm-hmm. you know, and like people who do like CBT therapy, so like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is good for like OCD. like they make you literally sit there and like imagine the situation, like if you didn't do something, mm-hmm. and they like make you do like things. So like, for example, like I have a big thing with doing things in threes, and she literally made me walk with her to like, Shoppers Drug Mart and buy two things of the same thing specifically. She was like, so how do you feel about that? And I was like, well, obviously not fucking good, but I'm going to do it. Because what else am I going to do when you're standing right there?
I remember literally we hung out the day, we had class the day after you did this. And this is when you were telling me about your new therapist and like all this stuff. But she was telling me that she like would only make you eat two of something or like buy two of something. And
obviously like it's a very self-aware thing. Like, you know, it's dumb. Like, you know, it's silly and that makes it worse. But it's like, well, I don't want my mom to die tomorrow. Even though that's obviously not going to happen. It's called like, there's a specific thing called magical thinking, mm-hmm. where it's like you literally, anything you think of, you're like, oh God, what if that happened? Mm-hmm. It won't, but what if? You're like, I know it's not going to happen, but what if it did?
Yeah.
So then we just like go through stuff like that, like imagining scenarios. And she's like, well, what's the worst thing that would happen? I was like, well, I guess somebody would die. And she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah, like, okay. Like, I know it's not going to happen, but like, what if? She's like, well, there's no point in dwelling on what ifs. So I'm like, yeah, but what if? So yeah, we just talk about that stuff. You talk about like general life stuff. So like if you're having an issue with someone, you know, it's just like a good place to like talk through things. Like, you don't actually need like a diagnosis of some mental illness to like go and talk about things. Like, it's just a, like I said, like a good person for a third party outsider, non-biased mm-hmm. opinion, you know, mm-hmm. somebody gives you like solicited advice, $200 advice, may I add, very expensive unless you have good insurance or go to places that like have a student discount and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to talk a little bit more about what you said earlier. It's called
earlier
when we talked about how you had like short bouts of depression.
Oh, dysthymia.
Yes. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Because, you know, for me growing up, I never really struggled with mental health.
Yeah.
I, you know, never felt anxious, never really felt depressed or like anything like that. I never like felt any of those things. It was really strange for me. I remember I talked about this like I've talked about this in depth like a lot of different times, but I had like a really public meltdown on Instagram. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When I talk about it, I feel like people are like, oh my God, of course this bitch like cried on Instagram. And that's not really what it was about. It was about like
showing it,
showing the fact that like an influencer's life isn't perfect. Like everybody thinks like I live this fucking bougie ass fucking life and I snap some pictures and I'm like, good to go, which is so not true.
Yeah, like you're still a human being.
Exactly. And the thing is too, like I would even argue being an influencer is harder on your mental health because you have a million people. I have a network of like 350,000 people.
Yeah.
Who, if they wanted to, could destroy my fucking mental health. And like the internet has attacked me over so many things. And
the internet kind of sucks.
The internet can suck. Yeah. And it also can be really good.
Yeah. But it's just like a free platform for people to
either be their best or be their worst.
Yeah. Pick on you or boost you up.
Yeah. So that was another situation where it was like kind of a conglomeration of things. I was stressed about school. I was stressed about work. And I like remember getting in my car and I felt like I was having a panic attack. Mm-hmm. I was having a panic attack. Like everything felt so overwhelming to me. I'm literally like recounting this and I'm like clenching my like nails into my hands. Like I didn't even realize everything felt so heavy on me.
Right.
Like, I had to open all my windows. It was fucking December. Like I had to open all my windows. Like I felt so overwhelmed. Like I couldn't drive. I was fucking bawling my eyes out. Like it felt like it was building and building and building. And then it finally just like got to like a boiling point. And I was like, holy fuck. So like I eventually like calmed down enough to drive home. At the time I was working at West Ed. So I lived like 5 minutes away. So I calmed down enough to like drive home. But I just remember being so fucking like anxious and stressed and just like so many things. Mm-hmm. That was my first kind of experience or realization where I was like, okay, maybe my mental health isn't as great as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Because literally up to that point, like I had never experienced any other types of symptoms of anything. Yeah. That was like a what the fuck point for me. And after I kind of worked through that on my own, I didn't really have a lot of issues until I lost my job.
Right.
And then I was like super stressed about that. And there would be really like high points, but then I would be like slipping into low points and stuff like that. And I remember texting the group chat of me, you and Nikki and me being like, can you guys tell me about your depression meds?
Yeah.
If you like therapy or whatever, because at this point I didn't realize it. I think I remember Nikki saying, she was like, you probably don't have straight up depression. You mm-hmm. probably just have mild depression that comes and goes.
Yeah.
And you know, the more that I think about it, the more that it's really true. Like I will slip into depressive cycles where one day, you know, I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll just take the day off. And I think it's because I've like overworked myself or whatever. Yeah. And then I take 2 days off. And then I take 3 days off. And I'm just like, wait. I can't motivate myself. The hardest thing when you're, you know, an entrepreneur or like somebody who doesn't have a traditional 9-to-5 is if you don't do your job, nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah. Like no one's going to do it for you. It's, yeah. You have to do it yourself. Yeah.
If you don't work, you don't get paid. Like, yeah. It's just like you are your job, which is stressful in itself. But I was like, being an influencer and like a business owner is hard, but it's not like taxing enough that I could be so just like depressed over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In my personal situation. But I would find myself like slipping into these depressive cycles where I would notice, like I would start taking naps in the daytime, which yeah. I rarely do. But I start taking naps. I would sleep in really late. Mm-hmm. I like wouldn't do anything.
So like 9 a.m.?
No. And that's the thing. Like I wouldn't wake up till like 11, 11:30, which is crazy.
Which is shocking because
I don't sleep in.
Me on the other hand.
Yeah, you sleep in a lot. But
and you must sleep.
Well, that's the thing too, is like I would be getting a lot of sleep. Like I would sleep for like 12 fucking hours. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to do that. Like my alarm goes off at 6:30. I get up at 7. Even before that, I'd be getting up at like 5 a.m. And then yeah. I would notice times where I get up at like fucking 11. I'd be like, what is happening? Like I'm so fucking tired. I'm so fucking
probably
blah,
a lot
blah,
of
blah.
Being overworked.
A lot of being overworked. But then I would find myself like in these same positions over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I also would just feel fucking sad mm-hmm. at the same time.
Right.
And I would do a lot of this thing. Do you know what calling the void is?
Like calling out to the void?
No.
I don't know what that is.
So calling the void is, you know, for example, you could be driving on a bridge and you look over the bridge mm-hmm. and you think to yourself, what if I drove off the bridge right now?
Oh, I literally do that every day.
I do it a lot. And but I would yeah. find when I was in that, you know, in my depressive cycle, calling the void would be
frequent
for me. Yeah. I'd like stare in the mirror and I'd be like, what would happen if I died right now? Type of thing, which is crazy for me to think because, right. you know, death is my biggest fear.
Like, so I don't like, want to die. I just kind of want to be in a coma for like 4 months.
See, but not even like that. Like, that's not even, I know that's a you thing.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's a me thing. Like, I don't want to be dead, but like, see, but I can like, take a break.
I would be, you know, calling the void super often. Mm-hmm. Like I would be sitting there and doing something like making breakfast or something like that. And I would be thinking about what would happen if I like died and mm-hmm. then what would the after effects be? Like yeah. I'd be thinking about my fucking
funeral.
Yeah. Like my funeral, I do like, that. All this kind of stuff. And that's stuff that I don't normally think about.
Yeah.
I would notice like I'd be sleeping all the fucking time. I'd be calling the void. I'd be like having these like darker, depressive type of thoughts
yeah.
where I was like, this isn't normal. Like, I remember too, like, I would start dreaming about like getting in fights and like all this stuff. And like, that's stuff. Like, I am the outspoken friend of the group. Like, I will fucking punch somebody straight in the neck. Like, if they're disrespecting our friend group, like, yeah. I'm that kind of person. But I also would like to point out, I've never been in a fight. So. Almost, but never. I never actually have.
This is true.
As much as I probably like could lay the fuck out of someone.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And so like when I start thinking about that stuff, like I would start thinking about like.
Well, it's like you notice when your own thoughts start going in a different direction. And you're like, I don't think that's very normal to me.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. And like by the time that I reached out to you guys, like I probably had gone through it like a couple times. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing exactly that I think I really would do to get myself out of it except yeah. for like a little bit of self-reflection
yeah.
and being like, tomorrow I'm going to try to wake up a little bit earlier
yeah.
and then make the conscious effort to do it.
I mean, that's really all you can do in those states. I mean, like, unless you're literally going to make it like a fucking psychology appointment, like the next day, like all you can do is like, okay, well, I'm going to make an actual effort to do mm-hmm. something tomorrow.
So
you know? Like just the thought of like actually being like, I'm going to consciously try to wake up earlier is better than literally being like, fuck it. I'm just going to sleep. I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk more about what's it called?
Dysthymia,
because, you know, when you said it, I was like, oh, that literally seems like kind of what I guess have.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even realize it until, you know, I started to talk to you guys and we started to have more open conversations right. about our mental health. It's definitely something that I experience and I'd like to know more about it because probably your therapist or your psychiatrist like talked to you about it.
No, I actually found it all on my own, surprisingly enough, because I had looked it up in like maybe like grade 9 or 10, whatever, just because I was like, well, I don't want to kill myself. I also just kind of want to fuck off for a while. And it would come in like very like brief periods. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be like 2 hours. It's basically classified as persistent mild depression. You're like mildly depressed for like a day
mm-hmm.
and then it goes away and then mm-hmm. you're fine. It's like often for one day. Maybe like every 2 weeks for one day, you're like, meh, you mm-hmm. know? But that goes on. Like to be diagnosed with dysthymia, like it has to have been going on for like 3 to 4 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I remember reading. Dysthymia is like persistent mild depression. Mm-hmm. And whereas like when you get diagnosed with actual depression, like it's called major depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like being in that state, but deeper and for a longer time.
Yeah.
And obviously it gets worse at like different times and whatnot. I noticed things like it's not normal to do this. And like, I mean, I still do it sometimes. Not that I would act on it, but oh, like blah, blah, blah is going to be so mad at me if blah, blah, blah happens. Or like, oh, my parents will be so mad that I spent so much money. And then your brain kind of goes to, well, if you were dead, that wouldn't be a problem.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. oh, like I'm not doing great in school. And then your brain goes, well, I mean, if you were dead, that you wouldn't have any problems. But like, mm-hmm. obviously, and like, I can acknowledge that that is not normal and that's not right. And that's not how your brain should think. I don't control her. She does her own thing, you know, mm-hmm. but that's not a normal thought process. And your brain should not automatically go to problem solving with, well, you know, I could just off myself and my problems would, I wouldn't have any problems then. Wouldn't be my problem anyway. The dysthymic thing is like frequent, mild. So like, let's say being depressed is like -100, like dysthymia would be like -25 type okay. situation.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
Good job, Annika.
Thank you.
The way that you describe that definitely feels like the way that I've been feeling for the past like couple years. Cause for me, it's like, you know, not like 1 or 2 days, it'd be like a week
mm-hmm.
and then I'd be fine for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Then it's like the same thing. It's like yeah. persistent, mild
depression.
Yeah.
My like mild cyclical depression
yeah.
has, you know, led me to wanting to talk more to a therapist and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that's why I had you on today. So you could kind of, like you already did, walk us through what it was like, I guess, to find your therapist and stuff like that. I would like to know, do you have any exercises or things that your therapist has done with you that you really liked, that you really saw improvement from?
We did like a lot of obsessive compulsive like activities. So like that's irrelevant, but like depressive episode stuff, it's taking the time in the morning to write like 3 things you're grateful for, and then at the end of the day like write like 5 things that were good. And I mean, also at a point it's like you can do as much positive thinking as you want, but like if the chemicals in your brain aren't right, they're not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, positive thinking, sure, great, awesome, but I don't control the amount of chemicals in my brain. Mm-hmm. If I need more serotonin, then that's what I need, you know?
Yeah.
Like you sometimes you need to be medicated, and it's like I'm not any different as a human. Like sometimes people get put on like a fucked up dose and like makes you not give a shit about anyone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you tinker around with it and like find the right dosage, it's like your mind just kind of goes to like less bad places less often. Not to say that my brain doesn't still think fucked up shit all the time, but it's like a lot less frequent, which makes it a lot less bad. Because it's like you think it like every, like imagine you're thinking it like 3 times a day, and then it's like kind of like a once a day kind of passing thought, and then it's like a once a week kind of thought, and you're like, oh, I haven't thought about that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, huh, must be working. You know?
I like that. And I mean, I'm all for medication. I think like a lot of people have like adverse reactions to it. This is not related to depression, but for me with like ADD,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people like to be like, well, you don't need medication. You don't need blah, blah, blah. You need like more structure. You need more like organizational help. And
like, the drugs are there for a fucking reason. Yeah. Why do you think they make them? Like, yeah, of course they like to make money, but like they like to, obviously they're there for a reason. They don't just do nothing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for the longest time too, like I talked about this in my ADD episode, but like I've had ADD for 10 years mm-hmm. and it's just like for those 10 years, probably at least nine of them were like unmedicated years.
Yeah, exactly.
And so since taking my ADD medication, like I'm so much more productive. Like exactly. I get shit done, and it's because it's just like I tried basically everything else.
Yeah.
And medication is fine. Like I'm a big proponent for fixing your fucking shit if it makes you feel better.
Exactly.
I really like, I mean, I'm very team medication if it's correct for yeah. you.
It has to be right. And if it's not right, you have to say something so you can tinker with it, try other things. Like I'm saying, I literally had like 7 different combinations
mm-hmm.
of medication before
you found the yeah. one that you like.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like not even just like 7 separate medications. That was like trying this with that, that with this, mm-hmm. this with something else, you know, like sometimes because obviously different drugs have like different things in them, like mm-hmm. exactly, like they're all like SSRIs or whatever, but they kind of have like different combinations of stuff, and sometimes your brain like needs a little of like a couple things,
mm-hmm.
not just like
a lot one, of one.
Yeah, yeah. It needs like 25% of that, like 10% of this, and like 20% of that. You know, like you need a little bit of something else.
So yeah, you just basically just need to find like a good balance.
Yeah, and you have to be patient with it too, because it like it doesn't really start working for like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of shitty when you have to switch. Then it's like another 3 weeks of like, okay, is it going to work or not?
Yeah.
You know?
So to round out this episode, I'd love to talk. Do you do anything personally, like outside of your medication and therapy and stuff like that? Do you do anything personally to take care of your own mental health when you kind of feel like you're having like rough mental health days or you're feeling like bad?
The best thing for me is like being by myself. Like I know like people are like, well, you got to get out. You got to be with people. And it's like, well, sometimes I don't have the energy to like put a face on. And like not that I need to put a face on with everybody, but it's just like I'd rather just be sad by myself. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like just like sit and like watch a movie, like have like do a hair mask, do a face mask, as dumb as it sounds. But it's like taking care of yourself feels nice. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you already feel shitty, it's like, well, I'm not gonna feel shittier, so I might as well try to do something about it. Honestly, having a nap always works for me too. Mm-hmm. I always feel better when I wake up.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was telling me that like when you take naps, like naps are actually just like physical resets for your body.
Yeah, because it like gives you, because there's so much stuff that your body can't do when you're awake. Just like if you literally don't sleep for like a certain amount of time, you will die. Mm-hmm. Like your body needs sleep. Like you will literally go insane. So like whether people think naps in the middle of the day are bad or not or whatever, you do need to have like a little reset. And sometimes people need naps, sometimes other people don't. Like my parents don't nap other than when my dad falls asleep on his chair while he's mm-hmm. watching golf or something. But like, you know, like sometimes like a 2 hour nap is like just what you need in the middle of the day if you feel like shit. Mm-hmm. You wake up, you feel better.
I find like when I get too stressed about things, like in business stuff, like mm-hmm. having a nap, it literally is just like a body reset. You wake up, you feel like refreshed, less yeah. stressed, because you just took the time to like detach yourself and mm-hmm. just
the
chill.
Worst thing that happens is if you have a nap, you wake up feeling the same, but at least you got some sleep. So I mean, mm-hmm. could be worse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But also on your point of being alone, I love to be alone.
I do
and
too.
But it's controversial for me because like I am such an extrovert because like I love people too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel recharged out and like spending time with people. Like at the beginning of quarantine, like I was really depressed because I couldn't see anyone. And like yeah, that is how
I loved it.
I know. But like that is how I fill my cup is right. like, you know, being around people. But I also fucking love being alone. Like I love my alone time
right.
so much because you get to do your own thing. Like you get to check in with yourself. You can be honest with yourself. You don't have to put a fucking face on around other people mm-hmm. and you can just be the fuck alone yeah, and do
like
your own
so
thing.
It's so nice to be by yourself. Like I feel like I could come off as a very like introvert. Is that the word?
Extrovert.
Damn, the brain's failing. Anyway, and extrovert, but like I'm very introverted. Mm-hmm. So like I get so drained after being with people all day. And like some people don't understand that I'm like, I just need like a hot hour by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm peopled out.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like my job all day, I work at a golf course, like a private golf course. So like, you know, everybody there, mm-hmm. they all want to chit chat. So it's like, by the time I get home, I just want to sit in my silence because it's like, I'm so exhausted from talking to people all day that it's just like, I just need a little time, you know, by mm-hmm. myself.
A lot of people like are like, my social battery is like low.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm peopled out.
Yeah. But like for me, on the other hand, like I said, I fill my cup by that. Like I yeah, love.
Like it like, charges you.
Yeah, it charges me versus like drains me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's like just important to recognize that. But also I want anybody who's listening to know that if they're also like an extrovert or like similar to me, being alone also is incredible. And it like it charges me so much. Because like sometimes, honestly, yes, hanging out with people charges my battery,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes being alone and just like having no expectations
yeah.
is so nice.
Like
it's
I love
so
not
freeing.
Having plans sometimes.
Literally.
Like it's really like I can wake up and I'll guess I'll find out what I'm going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't have it like waiting over your head. Like to me, sometimes plans are like, oh, I gotta do this on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like, not that that's always a bad thing. Like I like hanging out with my friends, obviously, but it's just sometimes it's like, you know what? I would rather be by myself. You know, it's like you don't have to argue with someone about what movie you want to watch.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, what do you want for lunch? Like, no, I'm just going to eat what I want to eat. And I'm going to watch what I want to watch. And mm-hmm. that's the end of that.
I love that. I like that. So do you have any, you know, last tips and tricks for the people, for the audience, anything? Last wise words of wisdom.
Here are the steps. Go to your doctor or just look online. It doesn't matter. Look online for like a psychology place or a counseling place. You don't have to go to your doctor necessarily. I just went there because I had to go to the psychiatrist to get diagnosed in the first place. Go to the internet. go to your general practitioner and ask if they have a brochure on any counseling or psychology places. And then you'll kind of fill out like a little info thing online and they'll kind of try to pair you with the person that they think is best for you in their clinic. And the first thing your psychologist says to you is literally, if we don't fit, that's fine. I'm not offended. Because not everybody works out together and it's not like an offensive thing. It's like, I'm spending $200. I need a vibe with someone, you know? And I just got lucky and found somebody I like the first go. But same thing with the drugs, same thing with the psychology. Like, you might not find the best person for you the first time you go. You'll go online, go to your doctor, get a brochure, go online, look, find a psychology place, find a clinic, and then just email them, phone them, make an appointment. You'll have a consultation and then you either continue with them or you have a consult with a different person. Good luck.
Good luck. Annika says, good luck, y'all.
Good luck, y'all.
That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it over on Instagram and tag me at HeyBitchesPodcast. I would absolutely love to chat shit with you guys in the DMs about today's episode. Before you go, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to give the show a 5-star rating and review. It really does help me out and it lets me to continue to do the show for you guys. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day. And for now,
bye-bye, bitch.
Okay, you can't scream it.
Okay.
And we have to do it at the same time.
Okay.
Ready?
3, 2, 1.
Bye-bye, bitch.